Welcome to the Arizona Post-Primary Press Call. My name is Erin, and I will be your operator for today's call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. During the question-and-answer session, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is being recorded. I'll now turn the call over to Gabby Abbott. Ma'am, you may begin.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining this call. My name is Gabby Abbott. I'm a communications manager with the All Voting is Local campaign at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. We're excited to host this telephone press briefing today in partnership with One Arizona, Election Protection Arizona, Arizona Advocacy Network and Foundation, Indian Legal Clinic, the Arizona Coalition for Change, Our Voice, Our Vote Arizona, the Intertribal Council of Arizona, and Living United for Change in Arizona. We'll be recapping yesterday's primary elections. Speakers will be available to answer questions during our Q&A session. The operator will advise reporters on how to get into the queue at the appropriate time. Speakers, please remember to state your name, title, and organization. First, we will hear from Rosemary Avila, the Arizona campaign manager for All Voting is Local.
Good afternoon, everyone. As Gabby mentioned, I'm Rosemary Avila, the Arizona campaign manager for All Voting is Local. All Voting is Local is a project of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights that works to eliminate barriers to the ballot before they happen. So thank you all for joining this call today. We have a wonderful group of folks on the line who are going to be giving us an overview of what we saw yesterday and what we're preparing for ahead of November. So I'd like to start by saying that yesterday, even though we didn't see any major pervasive problems, we shouldn't hold yesterday's primary as an accurate indication of what we're going to expect in November. We all know that we're going to see a much higher voter turnout in November, so we need to be prepared for that because Arizonans want their vote to count. And between now and the general election, officials need to act to make sure that that happens. Officials need to safeguard mail ballots with updated processes for verifying signatures and increase the number of polling places so that voters have accessible options for increasing their ballots in person. We all are all aware that Arizona is a state that predominantly votes by mail already. And with the current global health crisis, we're going to probably see that number continue to increase. And that means that we're going to have a lot of people who are first-time vote by mailers. So they're not familiar with the process of voting by mail. And for instance, they may not sign their ballot because they're unaware that they have to, or they may have had them sign it. So the signatures on their ballot won't match what is on their voter registration record. And this is a problem because these voters then become at risk for having their mail ballots completely rejected. And that's why it's critical that we have some uniform signature curing guidance issued from the Secretary of State to give these voters the benefit of the doubt to ensure that their vote is counted. Because the voter's intent to vote should far outweigh any technical flaw, like a missing or a mismatched signature. And it's up to our election officials to make fixing this issue as easy as possible for the voter. The onus shouldn't be on the voter. It should be on the election official. And some of the things that these election officials can do with regard to signature curing are contacting the voter by all available means. And by all available means, we mean with whatever information they have for that voter. If they have a phone number, they should be calling and texting. They should be emailing, not just stopping at sending a letter, because that's what some counties are doing now. So we need all available means that they have at their discretion. They should be training their staff on implicit bias and how this impacts ballot rejection rates. And possibly, most importantly, they need to make sure that they have enough staff to perform these functions. And I'll end by talking a little bit about Maricopa for obvious reasons. It's the largest county and it's home to most of our voters in the state. So we want to make sure that voters have a sufficient number of polling places that are available to them. For yesterday's primary, voters were able to cast their ballots at any vote center, which is great because they weren't confined to a precinct-specific polling place. But for November, we need to dramatically increase the number of vote centers in Maricopa County to ensure that all of our voters don't encounter problems like long lines and crowds, because we all know from experience that these problems undoubtedly have the impact of turning voters away. And one additional thing we saw in Maricopa County yesterday was the lack of adequate signage at the polling locations that were directing voters to the right place once they arrived at the polling location. So Maricopa County pivoted to this vote center model and these really large venues to comply with social distancing measures, which is great. but it's not enough to just give voters an address to a location and then not have signs to tell them where exactly they need to go to cast their ballot. That causes a lot of confusion, and it needs to be addressed before the general election. And ultimately, all of our voters should feel confident that they can safely cast the ballot that counts, and we believe that taking these measures now will ensure that that can happen in November. And with that, I would like to introduce Murphy Bannerman, the Deputy Director of Election Protection Arizona.
Murphy, I think you might be on mute. Okay, let's pass it on to Adrian Carmack, the Deputy Director of Arizona Advocacy Network and Foundation.
Thanks, Gabby, and Murphy, hopefully we'll be able to get to you after. Just want to echo everything that Rosemary said and then use just my 2 minutes to draw attention to the estimated 8,000 eligible voters yesterday that faced often insurmountable barriers to the ballot as they were incarcerated in pretrial detention in city and county jails across the state. According to the Prison Policy Initiative, Arizona's local jails incarcerate 14,000 people nightly. An estimated 60% or 8,400 of those individuals are eligible to vote. For context, in the PPE, our presidential preference election on March 17th, our organization and coalition found a total of 7 voters who successfully casted their ballot from inside jails. So we're looking at a tiny, tiny voting rate. Arizona has one of the highest incarceration rates in the country, and the system incarcerates Black, Hispanic, and Native people at significantly disproportionate rates. In addition, Arizona employs a cash bail system, meaning that thousands of Arizonans are in jail simply because they cannot afford to post bail. So lower-income folks are literally incarcerated for not being rich and are thus disenfranchised from voting. So the Arizona Coalition to End Jail-Based Disenfranchisement is a group of criminal justice reform, abolitionist, and voting rights advocacy organizations, along with local public defenders and community organizing hubs, working to ensure ballot access for every incarcerated voter. We want to draw attention to the persistent, systemic, and widespread issue of jail-based disenfranchisement and encourage state and county officials to take action and implement thorough procedures for voter registration, education, and ballot access. When we're thinking about this, we want to draw the connection between our nation and state's over-incarceration of Black and brown people and consider how widespread protests against systemic racism and police brutality are connected to this issue of jail-based disenfranchisement. Who is kept out of our political process? And in what ways? On July 8th, the coalition released a report analyzing jail-based voting procedures across Arizona. The majority of counties received an F for their procedures or lack thereof. You can read that report and learn more about our work at votefromjail.org. Most importantly, we are looking at the implementation of these procedures. Are people actually able to vote? Like I said, in March, public records showed only 7 voters being able to cast their ballots from jail. The bar could not be any lower. While we're hoping to see an increase in voters in yesterday's primary, we will not stop advocating until incarcerated voters have full access to participate in our democracy. Thank you. And I am going to pass it to Tori Dolan, who is the Native Vote Fellow at the Arizona State University Indian Legal Clinic.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tori Dolan. I'm the Native Vote Fellow at the ASU Indian Legal Clinic, as Adrian said. I'm a citizen of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. And at the Indian Legal Clinic, we run the Arizona Native Vote Election Protection Project, which hosts a Native Vote hotline to assist voters before and on Election Day. Our hotline was created to help Native American voters and voters living on tribal lands who face unique barriers unfamiliar to many people who do not live on tribal lands in Arizona. For the primary election, we received a record number of calls to the Native Vote hotline, and we've learned that Native voters continue to rely on our hotline to verify their voter registration status and their polling location because statewide search engine tools do not accommodate non-standard addresses, which are common on tribal lands in Arizona. Tribes and election officials have worked together to ensure in-person voting opportunities were available across Indian country. However, barriers still remain for Native American voters. Arizona voters continue to experience difficulties as a result of misapplication of voter ID laws and poor poll worker training on accepting non-standard IDs and IDs with non-standard addresses. We have seen a decline in new voter registrations and are particularly concerned that there are not sufficient opportunities for Native American voters to register to vote remotely during this pandemic. We encourage all election officials to provide equal access to voter registration, including online voter registration, which currently prohibits most Native Americans living on reservations from registering to vote because they have a non-standard address, and voters who utilize tribal ID to register to vote are systemically excluded from the online voter registration system. We also encourage all county officials and tribes to continue to work together moving towards November, where we expect a record turnout. And now you'll be hearing from Francesca Gill, the political director of the Arizona Coalition for Change and Our Vote, Our Voice, Arizona.
Hey, Francesca, I think you might be on mute.
Oh, thank you for that. Hello, everyone. My name is Francesca Gill. I am the political director of Our Voice, Our Vote, Arizona. Thank you for this opportunity. It is vitally important for us. We are an organization of people of color, and for us to protect our vote, and making sure that our vote counts, and educating our people, and making sure that our people participation increase in our communities. Of course, with this COVID-19, this pandemic, it has been very difficult for us to be on the field. We are used to be on the field with our people in our communities, listening from them and educating them in the process, especially in the voting process. So this has been very challenging. We have learned to be flexible and to be full committed to our people, their needs, and move to the digital platform. And we have done it successfully so far. We are looking forward to build new bridges of communication, to listen to our people. These people are part of, the front lines during this COVID-19. People that are facing very difficult challenges that they were already there and they are exacerbated with this pandemic. So we are extremely careful and listening to them. And we hear from them, their worries and their concerns that they were already there, but now they are even more difficult for them, like unemployment, the police brutality, how they handle COVID, their health care, education. It is, how they vote, where do they vote. So for us, it's extremely important to increase our communication, to find those new ways. We are ready, and we are looking forward to overcome the challenges that our states are facing and to move forward to create the change for and making more equal access to everyone to what we need, especially in participation in our democracy. So we're looking forward to create those new ways to reach our community and making sure that their vote is protected, that their vote count, increase their participation, and actually educating them in the process. Thank you so much. I will pass it on to Alex Castillo Nunez.
Hello, thank you, Francisca. This is Alex Castillo Nunez with the Intertribal Council of Arizona. We work together with the Indian Legal Clinic at ASU and operating the Native Vote Hotline. In addition to some of the concerns that were brought up by Tori, we'd also like to include that we recommend including more visible signage at polling location and having those as translated as well, especially those that are on tribal lands. Additionally, in response to the pandemic, we feel that it is important to provide additional alternatives for voters on election day, for example, providing a curbside option for those who may not feel safe going into a building to vote. We feel that curbside voting could help in being able to provide a safe way for voters on Election Day. Additionally, just based on my personal experience yesterday at the polls, the equipment had issues with being able to verify my identification. It was able to find my voter file, my address, but it required me to input the last four digits of my social security number. That created a barrier for me to continue on and receive a ballot. It took a few poll workers that were assisting me at the time to be able to finally bypass that option and have the election inspector there to manually approve the verification, the ID verification that I provided. We feel that this could be a barrier for future voters because of my connection with the coalition and my knowledge. I felt that I wanted to maintain there and make sure that I received my ballot, but just wondering if there were other voters that would have the same problem, whether or not they would have stayed to cast their ballot, being that the issues were rising. With that, I'd like to forward the conversation to Randy Perez, the Democracy Director for Living United for Change in Arizona.
Thanks, Alex. Hey, everybody. Thanks to the press that are on this call and listening to us, and thanks to all the other speakers. My name is Randy Perez. I'm the Democracy Director today representing the Arizona Center for Empowerment, which is a 501c3 nonpartisan civic engagement organization that works in Black and brown communities and does a lot of political education with our folks and has registered tens of thousands of voters over the last decade. We've talked a lot about some of the issues that came up yesterday. I think there's also an opportunity to talk about the record turnout that we're seeing across the state, not just in Maricopa and Pima, but cumulatively. We are seeing tens of thousands of folks that have never voted before that are showing up, that are energized and engaged, whether it's by COVID-19 or broader themes that are coming together. I think there was a lot of good that happened yesterday and a lot to build off of for the future. There is still so much that election officials can do on a local level. We've been pushing for so many changes, whether it's, new polling locations, more polling locations and vote centers, especially in communities of color on the west and south sides in Maricopa and Pima on the south side and west side as well. And really just looking for more leadership and conversations with local election officials to make sure that these elections are accessible as possible. We're still seeing barriers and gaps that exist in certain communities that don't exist in others. And that's why I think coming together after this election, taking stock of what went well and looking towards the future and thinking about November, we're going to see record turnout in November. There are still concerns about the curing process, which I think came up earlier. In 2018, I believe about 33,000 ballots came in just in Maricopa County alone that were missing a signature. As more and more folks are voting by mail, we're going to need to see more education and more outreach from county recorders and election officials to make sure that that's not happening, but also making sure that there are systems in place, quality control, so that those voters are being reached out to make sure that their votes are actually being counted. We saw races yesterday that were decided by or still being decided by 250 votes, 500 votes, 1,000 votes. Every single vote is going to count. And so we're here as a coalition to be committed to that work, both in our community and with the folks that can actually make decisions on a local level. And with that, I'll pass it to Montse Arredondo, if she's on the phone.
Juan, thank you. Again, this is Montse with One Arizona, and I wanted to speak today to the number of people that voted by mail and the huge turnout that we had of folks that turned in their ballot either by mailing it or turning it in at a polling location and the huge success that we have had in Arizona with a vote by mail experience. Also, we saw a huge turnout and this is all based on early vote numbers, folks that turned in their ballot by mail. By young people under 29, so we know here in Arizona that we are, that the presidential election will be decided ultimately or big deal by young people and also this huge Senate race. So it's exciting to see that our young folks are coming out to vote and are also doing so by mail. I would echo what many of the folks said on this call today, that ultimately we still need these polling locations to be open and accurate and accessible to our communities. We saw an uptick in the number of people that requested a ballot, but also needed a place to turn it in. We would love to see better communication between the county recorders, particular Pima County in this primary election, on what the polling, where the polling locations are, how quickly we can get that information to folks that are asking us as we're connecting with them to get out to vote and turn in those ballots, so that this is something that's more seamless in November, that when folks are not mailing those back in time, are able to still turn them in person, and that there's no barriers in travel, because we only have a limited number of precinct polling locations open, and that we have better communication again with the county recorders and the public at large of where these polling locations are, and that if any changes happen, we are aware of that information. It was unfortunate yesterday to see so many of the Googleable tools to find your polling locations, quote unquote broken, because we didn't have the up-to-date information from some of the counties on where those polling locations were. And I know I could speak to many of the folks here on the call in the communities that we serve, that barriers like that, not being informed of what your location is quickly can make that experience quite a bit harder. So that's a huge flag for us from One Arizona, but ultimately we want to celebrate the turnout, the increase in turnout from last night, from 2018 to 2020. We saw more people participate, and we know that if folks are voting in the primary, they're more likely to vote in November. So excited to see record-breaking numbers this next general election. And with that, I believe I'm passing it back to Gabby.
Thank you, Monse. And lastly, I'd like to introduce Murphy Bannerman, who is the Deputy Director of Election Protection Arizona.
Hi, thank you. And sorry about the issues earlier. So as Gabby stated, I am Murphy Bannerman, Deputy Director with Election Protection Arizona. We are a new group in Arizona. We are a nonpartisan effort, partner with the members on this call, to ensure eligible voters can participate in our democracy without threats of intimidation, overly burdensome policies, or long lines. Leading up to the primary, we recruited and trained over 50 volunteers to be poll monitors and social media monitors throughout the state. Yesterday, these volunteers reported back to our command center issues they witnessed at the vote centers and online. And in addition to the number of issues that were mentioned by the speakers on this call, I also want to highlight, one, again, some of the confusion that happened with voters in Maricopa trying to find these new vote locations. As stated, this led to some voters looking around for nearly 20 to 30 minutes, which can be really detrimental if you were just trying to quickly cast your ballot and get on with working or get back to your kids, et cetera. In addition to that, I also want to highlight that elections must be safe, secure, and this year especially healthy. Vote centers need to clearly have markings to maintain social distancing while waiting to vote in line. We saw at some locations long lines where people were close together, not maintaining social distance, and this can create a health risk for the public. Lastly, it is critical poll workers receive comprehensive training. We receive reports of voters being turned away, even though they were in line by 7 or were trying to drop off their ballot. That is unacceptable. So again, I want to reiterate that we are really proud that Arizona turned out in a high number this year and largely did experience a quick and easy voting process. However, all eligible Arizonans deserve to have that experience, and we will be working as a coalition with elections officials to address these issues for the November election. And with that, I will turn it back to Gabby. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Murphy. We're now ready to open it up and take questions if there are any from reporters. Reporters, please note if your question is directed to a specific speaker. And speakers, as you answer the questions, please remember to state your name and organization. Erin, can you please provide instructions for asking questions?
If you have a question, please press star then one on your touch tone phone. Or if you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. There will be a delay before the first question is announced. Once again, if you have a question, that is star then one on your touch tone phone. I'm standing by for questions. And you do have a question in queue from Griselda Centino. Your line is open.
Hi. Yeah, thank you so much for doing this call. My question is, what are you, your groups doing differently now to get people out to vote and excited about the November election? In the past, we have seen a lot of people, you know, out volunteering, going to different events to get people excited about the election. But right now, with not a lot of events happening, what are some of the ways or some of the tactics that you guys are using to get people excited about the November election?
I can speak to that if it's not directed at any particular person.
So we're
a coalition of 24 organizations across the state of Arizona, and we are capitalizing on our social media connections and abilities there with the young people that work at our organizations. And we're doing a whole lot of phone banking and text banking to our communities. And those are focused around all the ways that you can show up for democracy and civic engagement in 2020. So they're around census, getting out to vote, registering others to vote, registering yourself to vote. And then we are complementing that with some limited field activities like dropping off literature at folks' homes or doing mask giveaways, providing some of the PPE that all our communities need, especially in the cities where masks are required, and then also doing things like drive-through voter registration drives where folks can come if they don't have a state ID or they recently moved to Arizona and don't have, again, that need to do a physical copy. So those are some of the activities that we're doing, and it is happening at each of these organizations. Alexander with Intertribal Council of Arizona is a part of that, and the Arizona Center for Empowerment, represented today by Randy, is also a big part of that.
I would like to add something that if I have time. Arizona Coalition for Change, Our Voice, Our Vote, we have made so many phone calls to make sure that we are there for our people of color, the Black and Black community. All those phone calls, what we hear from our people is amazing, because with COVID and the isolation, the quarantine process, people are, you know, they are going through difficult times, and they like to hear from us. That's our experience. They like to hear from us. We hear from them. We hear, you know, their fears and their concerns, and then that give us the opportunity to educate them, to be there for them, to be a support system also for them. And it is amazing how they are so willing to do voting registration online, or helping them, guiding them, educating them, and also all the way to how do they, you know, cast their ballot. So it is very important to think about that because of COVID, people are expecting, they need that connection. We're human, a connection does not go away, that, you know, it increases. So we just need to reach out. People are ready to listen from us.
And this is Randy from ACE. If I could just jump on that real quick too. I also think that people are just very, very excited to vote. I was talking to some new voters yesterday, who had, you know, received the ballot for the first time but have been waiting for years and years and years. They've been involved as young people for a long time. And then just some data as well of the, you know, 1,039,000 early votes that I can see, 242,000 of those people have never voted in the primary before. That is an incredibly high number of new voters participating. So I think folks are really, really excited to vote this year, and that's going to continue in November.
Hi, this is Alex with the Intertribal Council of Arizona. I'd just like to also just bring up some of the work that we're doing with our youth, putting together a civic series, really trying to engage them and give them perspective as to the importance of voting. And because we work with a lot of Native youth, part of this series, we like to do education on voting rights for American Indians here in Arizona, and really try to make it personal for them, to really just bring it back to their heritage, their culture, their families, and seeing the importance and the power that they have to be able to contribute for the future. And so we've really been trying to, really planning on pushing out and having them engaged and also bring their communities together. And, you know, as Montse has said, we have text banks and other activities that we've planned to really just get them as well part of the mission.
Thank you, everyone.
And once again, if anyone has a question, that is star then one on your phone. I'm standing by. And I'm seeing no more questions at this time.
All right, if there are no more questions, I think that'll conclude today's call. Thank you all so much for joining us. We'll be sharing the audio of this call later today. If you have any additional questions or would like to reach out to any of the speakers, please contact us at press@allvotingislocal.org. Again, that's press@allvotingislocal.org. Thank you so much and have a great afternoon.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.